This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Let me ask you a question today. Are you like me that you don't like to waste anything? Waste time, waste effort, waste money. Y'all like me whenever it comes to that? There have been times whenever I've maybe worked on a project, lots of effort, lots of time in it. Maybe I got drug into a project. And then you look back and it, like, nothing came of it. And you think to yourself, boy, those are hours and days of my life I wish I could get back. Have y'all ever felt that way before? What about money? Listen, there have been times in my life where I've looked back and I've thought about all these things I've wasted money on, and I've been convinced that I'd be a millionaire if I would have never wasted money on all that stuff, right? I mean, like, abandoned hobbies. Has anybody, like, ever gone hard into some hobby and 2 months later you're not doing that and you're doing something else? You ever been there before? Or clothes that looked really good on you in the dressing room, but then they didn't look the same at home. Regina and I were talking about something recently. We were about to get on a plane and fly home from Cuba, and we also like to cruise, so we see this every now and then, like whenever we're maybe getting back on the boat from Cozumel or Costa Maya or any of the Caribbean islands that you visit sometimes. But there are people who feel that it's a wise investment to buy a sombrero and to bring it home. I'm not going to ask, but maybe you've bought a sombrero before. Can I just ask you, I mean, do you think that maybe you're going to watch the weather one night and you're like, you know what, I think tomorrow's a sombrero day. I'm bringing that baby out. You know? But yeah, some of us have wasted a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money over the years. Y'all, we're in our First Things First series, of course, and what we've been looking at is our priorities. What we've said in this series is that if our priorities are out of order, then life is going to be out of order, right? And the foundation of everything is putting God first. Is putting who first? God. We got to put Him first. And so today, as we hop into this last part of the series, I just kind of want to ask you this question. Everything that we've talked about up until now, these last 4 weeks, you know, really, what's the point of it? Why is it that we're looking at this? And, you know, the answer is this, is it's because whenever our priorities are in order, we're going to see God's blessings throughout our life. Hear me, God is a God of order. And whenever we have our lives in order and our priorities in order, we will see His blessings come into our lives. That's individually and also in our family as well. But it also positions us to do what He has saved us to do, and that's to make a difference while we're here on earth. Do you hear me today? God wants you to live a life that's significant. He doesn't want you to live an insignificant life, but a life that's truly significant. He has a great plan for every one of us. But the problem is this, is that a lot of believers have been focused on other things that are not important, things that really won't mean a hill of beans down the road, and they're ultimately wasting their time here on earth. Right? They're ultimately wasting their time here on earth. We need to be good stewards of our time. We need to be good stewards of it. And so, again, God has a bigger plan for you, a plan that, hear me, impacts people, a plan that brings life transformation in other lives, a plan that ultimately echoes into eternity. And so today I want to share with you a few truths whenever it comes to that. And this is very basic, but maybe you'll leave here with something today. The first truth that I want to give you is this, is that we weren't saved just to go to heaven. We weren't saved just to go to heaven. That's part of it, but it's not the whole story. Jesus didn't die so that you could just live comfortably. Okay, He didn't die just so you could live comfortably. He loves us. He gave His life for us, and He wants us to be part of changing this world. Do you hear me today? And we change it based on what we've received, right? We help others receive what we've received. Right before Jesus ascended, He has the disciples around Him, and He basically gives them their assignment. And we see this in Matthew 28, and this is called the Great Commission, right? You've probably heard of that. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore go." I need somebody to say go. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see that? Go, make disciples, teach them. And by the way, this wasn't just for the disciples that he was speaking to at that moment, just before he ascended. This is for every one of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's for all of us. For all of us. He said, go and make disciples. What he didn't say was, go and sit in church on Sundays. He didn't say, go and just live a comfortable life, go live your best life. He didn't say that. He said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and do whatever makes you happy. Go make disciples and teach them. You need to teach them as well. Here's the thing. We don't get saved and just do nothing. Y'all, that's not Christianity at all. Although it's Christianity for a lot of people. You know, that's been their choice. They've gotten saved, and it's kind of like, well, I secured heaven. I'm good. You know, my eternity's fine. Y'all, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Y'all hear me talk about this on a regular basis. Whenever you receive his gift of salvation, we have to make him Lord of our lives, right? Lord of our lives, which means all of a sudden, our plans for the rest of our life, they change. Because rather than doing what we're wanting to do, it's, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do? Amen? Amen? And so a lot of people, you know, their whole thing is, well, I've kind of got this fire insurance policy. I'm good with God, so that's all I've got to do. But that's not what Jesus said. No, he said, go make disciples and teach them, right? In Matthew 25, Jesus tells this parable about a master who gave three servants talents, okay? Talents. Now, whenever we say talents, we're not talking about like juggling things. We're not talking about something gross like competitive eating. You ever seen those guys eat those hot dogs? That's disgusting, isn't it? It's just disgusting. Anyway, he's not talking about talents like that. What he's talking about is actually a unit of measure. A talent was like a unit of measure for silver. Okay, so a talent of silver would be 75 to 80 pounds. That's a lot of silver, right? And so he gave these three servants like a certain amount of silver, and the first two, they took what they were given and they multiplied it. So the master goes away, he comes back. The first two, it's like, hey, here's what we did with it. And he's like, well done, right? But then there's the third guy. And what the third guy does is he simply buries it. Nothing came from it. There was no return. And whenever the master returns and he sees that the servant had just buried it, this is what he calls him in Matthew 25, verse 26. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. That's strong, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but the most valuable thing that I have is my salvation from Jesus Christ. It's the most valuable thing I have. It's not my home. It's not possessions. It's not anything like that. It's my salvation that he made available for me for giving his life on a cross for me because he loved me. This messed up person, he loved me. Same for you as well. He gave his life for you, right? And what I don't want is to be seen as that lazy, wicked servant that I've been given such a gift, but I didn't do anything with it to help multiply it. Does that make sense? You see, we've received something so valuable. And what we need to do is to make sure that others get it. And that's the reason we go. That's the reason we make disciples. That's the reason we teach. Why? So that others can receive what we've received. And we constantly have to remind ourselves that life, y'all, isn't just about us. Whenever you look at the world's view of life, it's just about us, right? It's like just the concept of do whatever makes you happy. You know, if you want to get here, then do whatever it takes to get here. It's just all about you, but that's really not kingdom. That's not the word. That's not what the word shows us that life's all about. Life is about others, okay? It's not just about us, it's about others. God saved you so that you could point others to him. Amen. So that you could point others to him. Hear me, your coworkers need to know about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Your neighbors need to see you and your family live your faith out. Your family members who don't know the Lord, they need you to tell them about the Lord. Come on, y'all. That's what they need. That's the Great Commission. And just so you know, it wasn't a suggestion. If you look at the wording in it, Jesus didn't say, here's what I'd like you to do. Jesus didn't say, please do this. He said, go. Right. Kind of like, you know what you're supposed to do. I'm about to get out of here and ascend. Go. Right? That was their marching orders. Hear me. That's our marching orders as well. We're supposed to go. And as your pastor, let me just ask you, are you fulfilling that? Are you fulfilling that? Or are you just showing up on Sundays and just living for yourself the rest of the week? That's a question that we all need to be able to answer ourselves. So again, you weren't saved just to go to heaven. Number two, you were saved to make a difference. You are saved to make a difference. Not just to survive life on earth, not just to get by, but hear me, to live an abundant life, to live an overcoming life, to thrive, amen, and to impact the lives of others as well. To impact the lives of others as well. Matthew 5 says this, verse 14, you, and hear me, every one of you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all. Somebody say all. It gives light to all who are in the house. Who's there? Everybody that's there, they see the light. Verse 16, I love this verse. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, based on the fact that we have Jesus in our lives, we need to be shining bright. Come on, somebody. We need to be shining bright. Whenever people see us, they need to see that something is different about us, right? That we're shining bright. I mean, here's the great thing about light is that it gets rid of darkness by simply being present. Just by being present, darkness will go away. Think about that just for a minute. Our presence should make a difference wherever we go. And maybe you're here today and I don't know your work situation, your school situation. You may feel like, man, I've got myself into a place of maybe a job, or maybe you're at a new school or something. You're like, it is dark around me. Hear me. Over time, your presence, the light that's coming out of you, will change how that place looks. So don't be like, I got to get out of here. No. You are the one that can change that place. Do you hear me? Because of what's on the inside of you. Because of what's on the inside of you. Y'all, this applies to our work. This applies to our neighborhood, your family. If nobody else on your road knows Jesus, whenever they see your family, you can be the light to where they can come to know Jesus. Amen? Wherever it is that you are. Now, let me share something with you that I think is pretty powerful. Most of us have heard of the Lord's Prayer, and whenever we look at the Lord's Prayer in the Word, really we should call it the Disciples' Prayer. The disciples wanted to know how to pray, and Jesus basically gives them an outline of how they should pray. It's not necessarily a prayer that we just read word for word. It's kind of the framework for praying, right? And so in Matthew 6:10, this is part of the Lord's Prayer, and y'all recognize this. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that sound familiar to anybody today? Let's think about the second half of that. On earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? What does that mean? Hear me, the will of God is for earth to have the attributes of heaven. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. The attributes of heaven. Now let's think about the difference between earth and heaven. Would you say that heaven has poverty in it? No. Would you say that heaven has hate in it? No. Would you say that heaven has broken families in it? No. Does heaven have sickness in it? No. Those are not the attributes of heaven. The attributes of heaven are actually quite opposite of that, right? What we experience on earth, a lot of times it doesn't look like heaven. And so whenever we're saved, it's not just about us going to heaven someday, but it's about bringing the values of heaven to earth. Yes. Hear me. Whenever we live out God's will, whenever we're obedient to do what God says, I want you to know that things will change in our lives. So for instance, the places that we are, because of the light that's in us, we'll see that mercy will replace cruelty. Come on, y'all. Whenever we're obedient to do what the Lord says, and again, that light's coming out of us, we'll be in places where we'll see forgiveness replace bitterness, or we'll see love replace hate. That's what happens whenever we're obedient to the Lord, whenever we're shining that light. All of a sudden, the attributes of heaven can start to come. And y'all, that's heaven breaking through. And every time we choose God's way over our own, earth looks a little more like heaven. Come on, y'all. I mean, that's the reason we made a shirt like this, right? We need to give them heaven. We need to be that light. And so again, you were saved to make a difference. Number three, and this point's a little bit different from the others, but serving leads to greatness. Serving leads to greatness. If you want to make a difference, I need you to hear me today. You got to do something. Amen. Sitting ain't going to cut it. You have got to do something. Amen? In Matthew 23, look at what Jesus says. The greatest among you must be what?
Servant.
Must be a what?
Servant.
Must be a servant. Verse 12, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. That's strong. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Whenever you look at this verse, what Jesus did was, is he completely flips the world's definition of greatness. Because you see, the world's definition of greatness has to do with power, it has to do with authority, it has to do with accomplishments, it has to do with wealth. But Jesus is like, no, that's not heaven's definition of it. That's not it whatsoever. Jesus is saying greatness comes whenever you serve others. I think it's so beautiful whenever we read about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He just showed them, this is how you do it, guys. This is how you do it. But this is how we fulfill the Great Commission. This is how we make the biggest difference, and that's to serve. I need somebody to say serve today. So what does that look like practically? I mean, like, we just need to get real practical about this. How do you serve, and how do you make a difference? There's three things I want to give you today, and these are very basic, but let's just talk about them. The first one is you need to share your faith. I know that was really basic, right? We need to share our faith, but let's just think about it. Your story really matters.
Right.
Your story matters. And to be able to share your faith, you got to open your mouth up.
Amen.
Come on. You got to tell somebody about what he's done for you. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to have a title of pastor or evangelist or anything like that. No, no, no. You just have to tell people what the Lord's done for you.
Yeah.
You see, a lot of you, your testimony is very simple. This could be your testimony. I was goofed up and I was over here. And then I met Jesus and look at where he's brought me to over here. That's pretty easy, isn't it? It's so simple. And you may say, Pastor Gene, my testimony is kind of boring. Mine is too. I grew up like in a saved family. I was in church the day after I got born, probably, you know? But hear me, if you open your mouth up and speak whenever the Holy Spirit gives you the opportunity, you're going to see something happen in their lives. Amen? I mean, just think about this. Your coworker, you know, your coworker who's struggling in their marriage needs for you to tell them about what God's done in your marriage. They do. Your neighbor that's dealing with anxiety needs to hear about how you're able to just walk in peace and you're not so easily shaken. Can I just shoot you straight? During COVID, I mean, people were asking Church Alive folks, why is it that y'all aren't freaking out? Let us tell you about the peace that we have. I mean, we heard a lot of y'all talk about, you had people asking y'all, and it's just like, look, we're going to be fine, amen? We're going to be fine because he's going to take care of us. He's our protector. He's our healer. Amen. We've got peace. We know that he, you know, COVID didn't catch God by surprise, right? The person that you know that just got a diagnosis that it's kind of just been a sock in the gut for them. If God's ever healed you, they need to hear about that healing. You hear me? Maybe you've not had a physical miracle in your life, but you can tell a testimony of somebody that you know who did. Right? You can tell them what the Word of God says. You can talk about how you've seen him work in so many different areas of your life, and you know that he can work in their life.
Amen.
And sometimes people will be like, well, Pastor Gene, they don't even have faith to believe it themselves. They don't even know the Lord, so they don't even have any faith to believe it themselves. How do I share that with them? I fully believe that the Lord loves to give free samples. I mean, people that don't even know about the Lord, and you're thinking, well, how in the world can they receive healing because they don't know, they don't know the Lord? You know, I think God just likes to just heal people.
Yes.
And just show that person how much he loves them.
Amen.
And then let me tell you, all of a sudden, they have got themselves a testimony, amen, of what God did in their life. But we've got to speak it out, though. Don't ever underestimate the power of your testimony. Use it. Second thing is this, to serve in the community as well as in the church. Now, there's multiple ways that you can serve the community. I mean, a lot of people, they have things that they do to be a blessing to folks in their neighborhood or their town or their county, whatever it is. Here at Church Alive, we have different ways that you can serve as well. I mean, for instance, one of those is our Saturday serves, where we have a team that just goes out and just feeds people. Amen. That ministers to people and just prays for people. They just love on them. They just want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and there is no agenda behind it. This isn't a, hey, let's grow the church thing. No, this is what we just need to do thing, right? I mean, feeding people that need a meal, that's a good thing, right? Praying for people that have needs, that's a good thing, right? The very first time we ever had this happen at Church Alive, Tanner prayed with a guy who had a diagnosis of cancer, and it was a bad diagnosis, and they didn't think he'd live very long. The next time they went out, the guy came to Tanner and said, listen, I've got checked out since then. The cancer's gone. That's heaven coming to earth, y'all. That's what that is. And so we need to do something to affect the area around us. Again, Jesus said, go. Amen? Go. And he talked about the nations in the Great Commission, but hear me, we're affecting the nations as a church, but we got to look at our own neighborhoods first. Amen? And let's talk about, you know, we say serving in community and church. Let's talk about, like, for instance, serving here, and this isn't a big recruitment effort. In fact, I'm super proud of y'all. Hannah told me on Friday that, like, our Dream Team banquet, that we've had 166 Dream Teamers sign up for it. That's huge, right? So, and not everybody even signed up. So, like, our Dream Team, in other words, the people that make Sundays happen, our volunteers, that number is somewhere between, like, 166 and 200. That's incredible. That's incredible. We've got well over 60% of our church serving. Good job, Church Alive. Good job. And if you're part of the not 60%, you want to be as cool as the 60%, we'll take you. Amen. We'd love for you to join the team. There's actually a card right in front of your chair that you can join the team. But let's talk about the difference that it makes. Let's think about this. If I were to go to each one of you today and say, how many people have you personally led to the Lord this year? And if we were to tally it all up, what would that number be for this room? This isn't a condemnation thing, okay? That number may be 5, 10, 20. We've got some people in here that are very effective with one-on-one ministry to people. Some are very effective with it. But it could be a huge number, and maybe it's not a huge number. I don't know. Some of you have maybe had this thought, I really want to be part of somebody coming to know the Lord. Some of you have had that thought before. Can I just share some really good news with you? In the last 5 Sundays, 17 people have come to know Jesus at Church Alive. 17. And let me just share with you, for a church this size in this area, that's a big number, right? Now, if you have served at all this year in any capacity, you're responsible for that. You are responsible for that. And can I just say thank you and great job. You're responsible for that. Not me. This is a group effort to make this thing happen. Do you hear me? I can't get up here and do this if everything else isn't taken care of. So we all work together to see people come into the kingdom of God. Amen. It's a group effort. And you know, I think that just throughout the rest of the year, we're going to see just the biggest number of salvations that we've ever seen in the history of the church. But whenever you serve here, you're playing a key part in people coming to know Jesus and people leaving here with their life completely changed. And you're not just helping out. Y'all, this is life transformation, okay? This is life transformation. And let's just talk about our incredible dream team here at the church. First of all, we've got to give a big shout out to our Warriors, our parking team. Can y'all just give them just a... During the summer, they are the sweatiest guys in church. Yes. And they're the most bundled up guys during the winter, and they're incredible, are they not? Yes. But here's something that we're trying to do at Church Alive. If you wonder kind of like what we're thinking with all the different areas of first impressions and all, I don't know about y'all, but there have been times whenever Regina and I have been on the way to church and we have had some words. Y'all ever had that on the way to church?
Amen.
Come on, just lift your hand and just get free today if that's you. Some of my parents, like Hall of Fame arguments were on the way to church, okay? The founders of this church, Pastors Gene and Ann. But here's the truth. If there's somebody that's coming to Church Alive for the very first time especially, the enemy's doing whatever he can to keep them from getting in the doors. There's a good chance that they're having a good old argument on the way to church and they're finally just going to say, you know what, forget it. We're too messed up to even get in there. Because some of y'all, listen, some of y'all have had that thought before. I'm not knocking you, but you think to yourself, as mad as we are at each other, we don't need to go to church. We don't need to take that into church. You know, maybe some of y'all have had that thought before. But people are trying to come, and the enemy's doing everything he can to keep them from coming in here and receiving the Word of God, right? From coming in here and experiencing worship and experiencing the presence of God. And so we try to make it really easy on them. So whenever they pull on site, they got a smiling face. As soon as they walk through those doors that are going to be opened up for them, that they're welcomed and they're greeted. And between our greeters and our ushers and our welcome center people, the first 10, 15, 20 seconds in here, they're thinking, this feels so good. I feel like they care about me here. I feel welcomed here. Come on, somebody. See, we've heard that from a lot of y'all, that the first time you ever walked in here, you felt like you belonged here. You felt like you were wanted here. And I want you to know you were wanted here, right? And then whenever you come into service and worship's going and you just are at this place to where the atmosphere has been created to where you can just receive from the Lord. We try to make it easy. Let me tell you, if nobody's on the doors and if nobody's welcoming somebody, then people are coming in and they're sitting here and they're thinking, I don't feel like I fit here. I don't feel welcome. And so they're not hearing the word at that point. Their mind's just running. You understand, every one of you that maybe work with first impressions, you're making a difference and you're making it easy on people to come in here and to receive the word of God. Do you hear me today? Let's talk about our kids ministry. If you serve with our kids ministry, our CA kids, you're helping to take care of the children so that the parents can come in here and receive. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, because they're not having to wrestle with young'uns. Y'all are taking care of them back there, again, so that they can receive. Do you hear me? And I know that we are having children that get saved upstairs. But let me tell you something that I think about often. Whenever we put our kids to bed, and I'm going to do this until they leave the house. I did it last night. We lay hands on our kids, and we speak blessings in their lives. We pray for them every night. I mean, I'm speaking things over them last night, amen? And some of y'all do that to your children as well, but there are children that have walked into this place before, and they have never once been prayed for in their life. Never. You know, because either their family doesn't know the Lord, or whatever it is, but you see, they go upstairs, or they go to these rooms back here, and they may have somebody, let's just say it's a baby, and somebody's just holding them, and they're just speaking the word of God over that child. You'll never know how you can change the trajectory of a child's life by speaking over them while you're serving in the back. And Lord, forgive us for whenever we look at serving as a task and that we have to do this. I don't know about you, but I have gotten to the place where I see it as an honor to be able to point people to Jesus. Amen. It's an absolute honor. But children's folks, thank you so much. Media team in the back, let's just talk about these people. They make things sound good. They make things look good. Of course, we got a very talented worship team as well. But right now, and let's all say hello.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking to our online community. Y'all say hey to them this morning. Y'all say hey.
Hey.
There we go. To our online community, these cats in the back are making sure that they can have church at home because they can't be here this morning, right? We actually had a family that was with us in our first service. Regina saw the lady in the restroom. She's like, Pastor Regina, I feel like I know you and Pastor Gene. And Regina's like, who are you? And They've been watching us for weeks, and they came for the first time today. Thank y'all for what y'all do. Amen. Thank you for what you do. But hear me, every role matters. Every role matters. You may feel like what I just shared or what you're doing isn't very important, but again, in Matthew 23, Jesus said, you become great whenever you serve. You become great whenever you serve. It doesn't matter what you do. It's the heart. You're serving. Why? Because you want to see life transformation with others take place. And whenever you do serve, you're living out the vision literally of this house. Y'all know about Love, Grow, Lead. We've talked about that 100 times. You hear about it at Starting Point. But hear me today. Whenever you're serving, you're loving people. You're serving them. You're helping them grow in the Lord. You're helping them grow in their relationship with others. You're leading them to encounter Jesus. Y'all, that's the Great Commission in action. Amen. It's the Great Commission in action. And the third way that we can make a difference is simply to just live it out daily. To live it out daily. This is at your workplace. This is at your school. This is at your gym. You know, all of those, the ball field, whatever it is, all of those are mission fields. And you don't even have to preach a sermon. It's just living differently, right? It's just living differently. It's where people can see that you're a person of integrity. People can see you be kind rather than getting ticked off at the umpires. Whew. All right, real quick, I'm going to get real with you. Cash was playing a game at Simpson Academy recently. We were playing against Simpson Academy, our school, and I'd just like to say in the first minute, he banged out a three-pointer against Simpson. Anyway, but burn. But they lost. Anyway, because you got to understand, I have all of our school around us, and they know I'm a pastor, and then there's the Simpson Academy people. I mean, we knew everybody in the stands, right? And at one point, I felt like the refs weren't calling fouls against our team, and I scream at the refs, right? You got to call something, ref! You know, something like that. And for the record, I inherited that anointing from my dad. He was the worst in the stands. But then I was just like, you can't do that, Gene. Everybody in here knows you're a pastor. And so the Holy Spirit convicted me. People need to see us live a life of integrity. People need to see us be full of love and be kind whenever others aren't reacting the way that they're supposed to, right? We need to live it out. People need to see, once again, our peace, see us walking in peace. And whenever they ask why you're different, once again, it just props the door open for you to tell them about Jesus. Amen? Hear me, if you want to live a life that's significant, a life that's part of seeing change in others, it's going to require obedience. Whenever God says serve, then you serve. Whenever God says give, then you give. Whenever God says love that difficult person who gets on your nerves, and you think I'll do that by just hugging them to death, that's not what he means. You show him love. You show him kindness. Amen? That's living it out daily. And I want you to hear me today. Your obedience affects everyone around you. You'll never know whose life you changed because you're simply being obedient to do what God's asked you to do. Amen. So today as we wrap up, I want you to once again understand that God wants to use you to live a significant life to be part of changing other lives. Jesus gave his life for us. He hung on a cross and he took nails for every one of us. And in doing that, he kept us from spending eternity in hell, which we fully deserved. Every one of us, we have fully deserved it. Let's get real. You may say, well, I'm pretty good. No, no, no. We fully deserve it. And so he then tells us, here's what I want you to do. And based on what he's done for us, I think the only reasonable response we can give is, yes, Lord, we'll do it. We'll go. We'll do what we can to make disciples. We'll teach them, amen? It's what we need to do. Most people, they see greatness as winning something or a certain amount of money in the bank account or achieving goals. That's not it. It's about serving. I'm a goal setter. I mean, there's been things that I've wanted to accomplish in my life, and I've crossed a lot of those off that I've done it. And it's fine that I did what I wanted to do and accomplish it. But you know, on Sundays, whenever I see the Lord working on lives, when we hear testimonies. Last Sunday, we had 8 people give their heart to the Lord. It's very common that, especially Monday morning, because Sundays are just a blur for us, that on Monday morning, whenever I'm just spending time with the Lord, that it's like, Lord, thank you. It doesn't need to seem as though it's a hardship, right, for us to serve and to do kingdom work. It's an honor that we can point people to Jesus. Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of that. And hear me, it's not just me whenever people get saved. Once again, it is every one of us. Come on, tap your neighbor and say, you're involved in this too. Come on, you're part of this too, amen? You're part of it too. But we've got to be willing to be used. We got to be willing to be used. And so the big question I've got for you today is what are you going to do about it? If you've just been focused on your life and what you want to do and just living your best life, are you just going to continue on doing life that way? Or are you going to shift your focus? Are you going to shift your focus and say yes to what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 28? To go, to make disciples, to teach them? Are we going to open our mouths? Are we going to live it out daily? Are we going to serve others? And I want you to know today, God is calling every one of us back to what matters the most. Too many times we're focused on these other things in life. And can I just go ahead and tell you, someday it's not going to mean much of anything, these things that we're trying to take care of. I want to encourage you, though, share your faith. I want to encourage you to serve. If you're not serving now, literally, as I mentioned, there's a card right in front of your Dream Team card. We'd love to have you here. Be part of what God's doing, the life transformation. I want to encourage you to live it out daily as well. Don't wait till someday to do it. The enemy will convince you that it's not the right time. It's not the right time. You'll never do it. You got to commit today, right? Like, today's the day to do it. Come on, stand with me today if you will. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our life. God, we thank you for Jesus. Come on, just say thank you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for giving your life for us, for your incredible gift of salvation that honestly we truly didn't deserve. But we say thank you today. Lord, we understand that our salvation wasn't just about going to heaven. But Father, we now have the opportunity to take what we've received and to share it with others, God, so that we can take as many to heaven with us as possible. God, we want to depopulate hell. Lord, we want to depopulate hell. And Father, today we commit to living that out. Lord, to sharing our faith. God, to serving others. Lord, to bringing heaven to earth, the attributes of heaven to earth. And Lord, we want to step into greatness, but God, greatness in your eyes. Lord, we want to serve others. Lord, that we're not focused on just greatness as the world sees it, but Father, just serving others. God, we want to fulfill that great commission that you gave us in Matthew. So Holy Spirit, I just ask today that you just touch every heart. Lord, that we all just have a shift in how we think. And Lord, maybe some of us, we've been dialed in, but God, we've even just got a greater passion in Jesus' name. Lord, just a greater passion. And Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody say amen today.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.